Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. We're continuing our study in Hebrews. We've got to chapter 10. And of course, this chapter is about a change that happened. The Old Testament versus the New Testament. The old sacrificial system being done away with is replaced by the new sacrifice. Not a system, however. No need for a system when a sacrifice is made once and for all to put away sin forever. As the scripture says here, he put away sin forever by the sacrifice of himself. No system is necessary. No transubstantiation. No scribes and Pharisees. No Levitical priesthood. No priest temple sacrifice system. No reason for a temple to be built again. No reason to have sacrifices instituted again. Anyone who would take part in that does not understand the Word of God. How can you, by bringing about that which God put away, how can you bring about the will of God? What a delusion these futurists have with all their fundraisers to raise funds to find the red heifer and to rebuild the temple and get all the stones cut and buy all the accoutrements and get it all together. And they have it. Yes, that's right. A lot of these guys raising millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know. But the good part about raising millions of dollars through your 501c3 tax exempt status is that you get to live well. That's right. I mean, yes, you work hard for the money, don't you? yes. And I believe that's where it is. It's like all these so-called Christian lawyers with all of their constant campaigns about this or that right or, you know, thing going on. And every time something happens, oh, they got to run to the courts and they're going to need $50,000 to, you know, to enter their case into the court. But what they don't tell you is that, yeah, you know, their fees are like $500 an hour. So, yeah, it costs, you know, it may cost them a few thousand dollars to get all the paperwork done and all the filing fees. But, oh, well, yeah, most of that is their $50 an hour. I mean, $500 an hour lawyer fees. Don't be sucked in by this stuff. That's all it's all about. We don't look to the kingdoms of men. If we are obedient to our Heavenly Father, will we not have liberty? It's only our disobedience or the disobedience of the nation that brings about the tyranny. Because a people that will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. Period. There's a good maxim. So forget all this nonsense about rebuilding the third temple and all that. Yes, it may happen. You know, the Antichrist may get his way. They may build the third temple so that they can bring about their great delusion, that futurist fantasy prophecy that they seem to be unfolding. Yes, and that's the fact that they're making this thing happen, this false prophecy happen. Well, that can be very delusional. A lot of good people can get sucked in by that. But the scripture says if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But it is not possible. And even many of the elect may believe this for a time. But there'll come a point where the true Antichrist stands up and claims that he is God. And they'll see the delusion for what it is. Because they are the very elect. But all of those that are disobedient, that don't keep the commandments of God, and doing my study in Revelation, continuing study, it says there that something about people who don't receive the mark of God. They don't receive the mark of the beast. The thing about them is that they keep the commandments of God. It says those who don't receive the mark of the beast keep the commandments of God. You know, that law that was nailed to the cross. Seems to be a contradiction there. So if you don't keep his commandments, you're going to most likely get the mark of the beast, because it says that those who don't receive it keep the commandments of God. So if you keep his commandments, you won't receive it. It seems it adds up to me. So if you keep the commandments of God, you won't fall for the great delusion either. And even if you do fall for it, there will come a point, because you are one of his elect. You know, keep the commandments of God, you don't receive the mark of the beast. One of those, you won't be deceived because it's not possible. It says, if it were possible, meaning that it is not possible to deceive the very elect. We could be led astray. I have been. But there'll come a point when it comes down to the decision, am I going to keep the commandments of God? Because that's what the delusion is going to demand at some point, that you break God's commandments. Yes, it already has. As a matter of fact, I believe that many of the elect have already broken God's commandments. I know I have, but I keep his commandments. That is the intent. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I allow the king to rule in my life by the scepter of his righteousness. So I keep his commandments, the law of his kingdom. He is the king. It is his law. And I see in that law that if I live by that law, that it will be good for me. The best result is what I will get. The net effect of keeping his law will be the best result for my life. And I don't do it to earn salvation. I'll say it again. I do it because I want to please him, because I want to be in his kingdom, because I want the prize. I don't mind enduring in his kingdom. And if that means continually putting off the works of darkness and all of the things that I've been tricked and deceived and deluded into, like receiving a mark of a beast, I'm learning I can live without that mark. I can live without the beast's number. I'm doing it, been doing it for years. I find it gets more difficult. I find that I have to withdraw more every year to maintain my life outside of the beast's identification numbering system, but it can be done. And I know there's going to come a point when all of the elect are going to have to put it off. So they may build a third temple over there, but it's not going to be what the futurists, and what do the futurists care? See, they think that when they build that temple over there, that third temple, that abominable thing, I mean, that is an abomination. We're going to reinstitute animal sacrifices like the once-for-all sacrifice of Yahushua, the Messiah, who put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice himself, like that wasn't good enough? No, this third temple, Israel's time for the priest-temple sacrifice system ended. This is not of God. This is of the deceiver. You need to get that, my video, The Greatest Prophecy DVD, with the Great Prophecy Delusion as one of the chapters, or the Daniel's 70th week deception. You need to understand these things. But here in Hebrews, it tells us what the difference was. What happened in the middle of the 70th week? What happened to Israel as a nation? How their status became equal at the end of the 70 weeks? How it became equal to that of the other nations? Their status changed from a set-apart nation of God to equal with the other nations. And then a new nation, a spiritual nation, not the old nation of the flesh, but a new nation by faith from all of the nations of the earth, a holy nation separated by the blood, by faith, by the blood of the Lamb. We are the people of God. We are his spiritual Israel. We are the seed of Abraham by faith, plainly spelled out for us in the scripture. Continue here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 8. Verse 5, let's back it up here. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Yeah, we don't need no priest temple sacrifice system. It's over. But a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Yeah, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of the priest temple sacrifice system. You know what God says about that? No pleasure, no satisfaction in it whatsoever. Would have to be continually done forever and ever and ever, never accomplishing the goal of cleansing us from our sins spiritually, not just physically, but spiritually. And by faith, forever, we get to enter in now into his kingdom, enduring in his kingdom through our mortality, then crossing the threshold of eternity in his kingdom, never having to look back. That will be the day. That'll be the day that I die. Because that'll be the day that I will truly live in a way that I've never lived or I haven't lived yet. I'll never be tempted with sin again. Hallelujah. I will never fall again. I'll never stumble. I will be as He is. And by faith, I already am as He is. By faith. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, Thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. Above, when He said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin, Thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure in therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I am come to do Thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. See, it's taken away. The priest temple sacrifice system is taken away. That is the part of the law that was fulfilled completely in Him. He put an end to the sacrifice and oblation. He took away the first, that He might establish the second. Once for all. The sacrifice, once for all. No more continually offering of a sacrifice. No more bloodless sacrifice of transubstantiation of the Roman cult. Nonsense. Unnecessary. False. Abomination. Verse 10. He may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. That settles it for me. There's no continuation. Once for all. He offered Himself up once for all. He cried out, it is finished, once for all. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, putting an end to the sacrifice and oblation. Once for all, He offered up Himself. The final sacrifice, once for all. Continuing in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering, oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. So if they're offering up a daily ministering, offering up a sacrifice, it can never take away sins. They see the guy is in the robes, the black robes or crimson and purple robes up there, and they're offering daily the same sacrifice that can never take away sins. Oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, forever, one sacrifice for sins forever. It's done. There is no more sacrifice. Once for all, one sacrifice for sins forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool, sat down on the right hand of God. Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting until His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. And the hallelujah is mine because I am one of them that are sanctified, set apart by this sacrifice forever. He has perfected me forever. By faith I receive it now, and I will endure, lest I let it slip. See, I'm taking the whole book here. See, someone will latch onto this. Well, once forever I'm sanctified, and now I don't have to worry about it. The law is nailed to the cross. No. Let's take the whole book. Let's take the whole word and bring it all together. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified by one offering. And I receive that now by faith, but I will endure in His kingdom till the end of my mortality, lest I let it slip. Continuing in verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Now, quoting Jeremiah again. Paul quotes Jeremiah in Romans, I believe the same verses in Romans. when he's talking about the law, where he said, we establish the law by faith. Yes, he quotes Jeremiah. And here, this author quotes it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. Of course, Jeremiah was talking about after the days when the Messiah came, after the 70 weeks, or during it, or in the middle of it, after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them. Now, what good is his law written in your mind and your heart? If the law was nailed to the cross and you don't have to keep it anymore, doesn't make sense, does it? Now there's a true contradiction. If you believe that, then we have a contradiction. Hello, we have a contradiction. I'm so glad that the scripture doesn't say anywhere. I haven't been able to find it. Nowhere does it say that the law was nailed to the cross. Not in one place. It says that it's written in my minds and on my heart. And as David said, that I might not sin against him. What good is it if I'm not supposed to keep it? And why would I not want to keep it? You know why people say that? Oh, we don't have to keep it. They don't want to keep it. That's it. That's all there is to it. Oh, it's nailed to the cross. We don't have to keep the law of God. We're saved by grace. They don't want to keep his law. Well, you know what that means? That means they really don't care what pleases God. Or they think God changed his mind about what pleases him. Adultery? You know, whatever. God changed his mind about that. Oh, yeah, keeping the Sabbath. Did he change his mind about that too? Nope. Jesus said it. He said, whoever breaks the least commandment and teaches men so shall be least in the kingdom of heaven. So you know what? There are people in God's kingdom, and there are some that are going to cross that threshold of eternity in his kingdom that have taught men to break God's law, the least commandments, and they're going to be least in his kingdom. Oh, they may be great in the world. You know, they think they have to say that. Oh, we can't tell people not to eat bacon or ham on Christmas. Oh, no. We won't be popular in the world. Why, half the people will leave the church and they'll stop tithing. Can't have that. I don't know what their motivation is, but it's not because they love God's law. It's obviously because they think that, oh, maybe they read that they can break and teach men about the least commandments. Because, you know, I think about that. Jesus said least commandments and greatest commandments. Because he said the greatest commandments are these. You shall love the Lord your God. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And of course, how do we learn how to love our neighbor and to love God in a way that's pleasing to him? Well, he gave us his law. He wrote the book. We read it. We understand how to love God and love our neighbor. Because he said on these two, hang the law and the prophets. Meaning without the law and the prophets, the word of God, these two fall to the ground. They become worthless. They're dependent upon each other. You need the law to show you how to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And he puts his laws in our hearts and in our minds. He says he will write them. That's what repentance is all about. Repentance is about changing your mind. Here is the change of mind that is required. Repentance, by definition, in the Greek, means to change your mind. Here's the change of mind. I will put, this is Yahuwah, God Almighty, the I Am, the great I Am. He says, I will put my laws into their hearts. And in their minds will I write them. He's speaking about this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. This is the new covenant that he's speaking about. The author here confirms that this is the new covenant. It was spoken of in the Old Testament. It was spoken of in the Law and the Prophets. We have two witnesses. Paul, also in Romans, wrote the same thing, referring to the new covenant, referring to this that Jeremiah spoke after, talking about the days of the Messiah and what would happen afterwards, what he would accomplish, that he did accomplish. And by the work that he did on the cross, by his putting away of the priest temple sacrifice system to bring about that new system, the once for all sacrifice, whereby we can boldly enter into. He The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. He removed the barrier between us and him as the creator, the great I am, so that we can boldly enter into the throne room, into the most holy place because of his sacrifice. And he says, I will put my laws into their hearts. Oh, and I say, hallelujah, that his laws be being written in my mind and in my heart. I want it. Do you want it? Do you want his law written in your mind and your heart? Why do people hate his law? Because they love their sin. That's what it all boils down to. They hate his law because they love their sin. They don't enter into the kingdom. Their pastors and teachers, the hypocrites, they don't enter into the kingdom. They'll lead you up and tell you you get to go to heaven when you die, but they don't enter into his kingdom. They don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves, quoting the Messiah, because they don't want his law written on their heart. That's why they proclaim that it was nailed to the cross. But I say, willingly, please write your law upon my mind. Write it in my, on the table of my heart, that I might not sin against you, Heavenly Father. Let the desire, let my desire be your desire. Let me live a life that is pleasing to you, not by what I think is right, but by your word, the word that stands forever. So he puts his law into their hearts and into their minds will I write them, he says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. See, this goes together. When his law is put into your heart and written upon your mind, your sins and your iniquities, he will remember no more. Verse 18, chapter 10. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sins. Do you go to a church, a cult, where they're making offerings for sins every day? How is that different from the priest temple sacrifice system? It isn't. It's just a new version of the priest temple sacrifice system. It's just a continuation of it, of the abomination, all dressed up in a cloak of righteousness, wolves in sheep's clothing. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahushua, Jesus the Messiah, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, his flesh. Yes, the sign in the temple was the veil rent from top to bottom, completely torn in half, opening up the Holy of Holies by the sacrifice of his own flesh. Verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. How do we do that? We have his laws put in our hearts and written upon our minds, sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We'll pick up here next time. You're listening to Cross the Border, and as always, in everything you say and do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.